wonderful time of year. You know, it hopefully, after all the chaos and the mess of the last couple of years, the turmoil that people have been going through and whatnot, and it still continues on a little bit because of the election and whatever, but hopefully with Thanksgiving, people will just turn their focus away from that. I was so blessed to see somebody the other day that one of those adamant, you know, on social media, it's a good thing, but it's also a not-so-good thing. And a lot of people just vent. Well, I was so blessed to see somebody say, you know what, I'm going to put all this political stuff aside, and I'm going to enjoy the holidays. Hallelujah. Let's all do that, right? Is there anything that our opinion or somebody else's opinion, is there anything that, you know, venting all that, going to change anything? Is it going to change anything? The government's going to do what they're going to do, right? No matter whether we like it or not, or whether we have an opinion about it or not. So how about we just lay it all aside and just love one another? I got a nephew who's afraid to come home for Thanksgiving. We saw, a thing on TV or somewhere we saw it, where somebody, you know, people are afraid to get together with their families because of the whole political mess. It's like, you know what? Would you just stop it? Let's just love one another. We're family, right? Let's just love one another, and it's going to be what it's going to be, and we're going to survive. Does anybody have any doubt that we're going to survive? If you're so fearful that we're doomed and we're not going to survive, we'll come right up here, we'll pray for you, because we're going to survive. Jesus is the King, and He is worthy of thanksgiving. And so, amen. Let's take a real quick look. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Now, who's watching dinner? Is anybody watching dinner? Karen is? She's downstairs and can't hear me, so hopefully she won't let me go too long, because we want to get to that dinner, and I don't want it to be overcooked and all that. But somebody can remind me dinner's cooking if I get carried away. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word, and I thank You for this time that we have to look at Your Word, this time to spend in Your presence. We thank You for this time, God, where we can gather together and be of one mind, seeking You. We give thanks to You, God, because You are God. And You bless us, and You sustain us, and you direct us, and You give us strength, and You give us hope, and You give us help. Even in the worst of times, God, You are there lifting us up. So we thank You today. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, let us continually offer sacrifice of praise to God. Continually. Continually. You know, I've often struggled with the word sacrifice. Why should it be a sacrifice? If you think about it, doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, it should not be a sacrifice to praise God. It should be a joy. It should be something that we do continually, offering praise to God. It says that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now, think about what comes out of your mouth. There's fruit there. You know that? There's fruit. Everything you do produces something. Your words produce something. And the fruit of your mouth, when you are giving praise to God, is a beautiful thing. It's a very powerful thing. You're telling God that you're thankful, that you're grateful for what He's done in your life. Are you grateful for what God's done in your life? Amen. And so we should tell Him often. In Leviticus chapter 7, verses 11 through 15, I believe it is, there's a law put in place. And they are to do a peace offering to the Lord. I'm not going to go there, but you can go look it up sometime. Leviticus chapter 7, starting in verse 11. There's a peace offering. And in that peace offering is an offering of thanksgiving, an offering of thanks. It was a law that the Levites, you know, that God had given to Moses and the children of Israel to offer a peace offering that was full of thanksgiving. Why would they do that? Well, perhaps God, because God delivered them from Egypt? Perhaps because God took them through the Red Sea safely? Perhaps because God sustained them out there in the desert where there was like nothing? I mean, how do you do that? You ever wonder, you ever notice that when you have absolutely nothing, somehow you just get by? That's happened. It's like, where does the money come from? I don't know. Where does the food come from? I don't know. How come I still have a roof over my head? I don't know. Well, maybe I do know. Because God is always watching over us. And so they were instructed to offer a peace offering to the Lord that was full of thanksgiving. And we need to do the same. And I want to talk about just three quick areas of thanksgiving this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Where's my little thingy? Here we go. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I always talk about this. If you turn to that 1 Thessalonians verse, I want you to underline it. I want you to highlight it. I want you to circle it. Because every time, you know, somebody comes to you, well, I don't know what God's will is for me. Whenever I see a verse that says, this is the will of God for you, I like to pay attention to that. Because I like to do God's will, right? You like to do God's will? I think it's a good thing when we do God's will. Well, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we know it's God's will that we give thanks for everything. Always, for all things. Now think about that for a moment. Always for all things. Because some of us have had some things go on in our lives that we might say, you know, I don't know if I'm so thankful for that. And that's a hard thing. But I want to share something with you. It doesn't matter whether our life is exactly the way we want it to be or wish it could be. It doesn't matter if we're rich or if we're poor, if we're healthy or if we're sick, or if everything is in order, everything is complete disorder, we're still to give thanks to God. Why? Because of this. Giving thanks to God when it's good is a confession of your faith in Him. You know, when everything is going on good in your life, we would tend to think, oh man, I did a great job. Isn't life wonderful? I don't need anything. But when we give thanks to God when it's good in our lives, what we're doing is we're recognizing and we're confessing, you know what? It's good in my life. Why? Because I have God. Because I have Jesus Christ in my life. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, it says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood far off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, understand something. When God does something awesome for you and you give thanks for him, it's a confession of your faith. Look what it says in verse 15 there in that passage that I just read. It says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God. What's that mean? It means that he realized something awesome happened in his life, and it had nothing to do with himself, had everything to do with God. And so he glorified God, and he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, and he gave him thanks. Ever heard of an attitude of gratitude? It's important that we're thankful. You know, when you do something good for somebody else, don't you appreciate that thank you when it's done? Doesn't it make you feel good? Doesn't it let you know that that person has acknowledged that you have done something for them? That they didn't just take advantage of the situation? That they didn't just, you know, willy-nilly just let it pass by, but they felt gratitude for what you have done, and they give you thanks. Think about your children, those of us who have children. Isn't it wonderful when they just walk up and just say, thank you, Mom, thank you, Dad, for all the sacrifice and all the struggle and all the stuff you do for your kids? And then nobody likes it when the kid is unappreciative, right? You spend all day chasing them around. You spend all day preparing food for them. You spend all day making sure that they're safe, they're clothed, they're fed, they're healthy, whatever you can do. And at the end of the day, hopefully they'll have an attitude of gratitude. It's a wonderful thing. Well, it's the same thing with us in God. But it says he fell down and he gave thanks. And then Jesus says to him in verse 19, arise, go your way. It was your faith that made you well. Your faith. Your faith. And so when we give thanks to God, it's a confession that we have faith in God. You know that. Exercise that faith today. Thank you, Lord, that we are in a warm, dry building right now, because outside it is wet and cold. Right? Thank you, Lord, that we have instruments that were in tune this morning, and they sounded pretty good playing together, didn't they? Anybody ever listen to a band that's not in tune and they're all over the place? You say, yeah, we heard you last week. No. But we're thankful. I'm thankful. Aren't we thankful that Kylie and Sonny took time out of their days for I don't know how many practice sessions, and they put together a song and they played it for us, and it was beautiful. We have a lot to be thankful for. Well, why is it that we're thankful for all of these things? Because we have Jesus Christ in our life. We have faith in God. Isn't it wonderful when it's good? Let's give him glory. That's what the guy did. He went and he glorified God. With a loud voice, it says he glorified God. With a loud voice. And you know, I know there's a few here that do this, but I would encourage everyone, when God does something good for you throughout the day, it doesn't matter where you are or who you're with a loud voice, give him glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. Because you know what? When the world hears you glorifying God in the midst of the worst and the midst of the best, it doesn't matter. When they hear you glorifying God, they'll take notice. Like, ooh. Why is he glorifying God? Because he has faith in Jesus Christ. And it opens up doors. The words that you, the fruit of your lips will either open up doors or it'll close doors. Do you know that? When we profess to be somebody who has faith in God, we profess to be Christians, what comes out of our mouth matters. And when we give thanks to him in all things, people will notice. And they also notice when we don't. And so it's important that we glorify God. And open up a door for witness to declare our faith and explain our faith. Now, this is something that I hope that you're capable of doing and something that I hope you do often. Explain your faith. When we should have an answer in season and out of season. We should be prepared to be able to explain our faith. This is one thing when I get in little small groups, one thing that I always like to express to people. If you're a believer, I hope that you know what you know well enough so that you can share it with somebody else. If you can't share your faith with somebody else, how do you know you have faith? How can you convince somebody else that you have faith if you can't even explain it? And so know what you know, learn how to explain it. If you struggle with that, I'll do a study with you on that or whatever the case may be. But it's important. But one way that you can start to learn how to explain your faith is just start giving thanks. With a loud voice, glorifying God in front of others. And so, giving thanks to God when it's good is a confession of your faith in him. Number two, giving thanks to God when it's difficult is a confession of your trust in him. Anybody going through a difficult time? I don't see any hands. You're all lying. At least some of you are. Oh, I see one hand. Most of us have something difficult going on in our lives. I mean, let's face it. The truth is, it's not always pillows and roses, right? But when it gets difficult, and yet we still give him thanks, it proves to God that we actually trust him. Do you trust God with your difficult situation right now? I hope so. If you don't, I want you to practice something today. Start practicing giving thanks to God for even that difficult situation in your life. And now some people are like, Pastor, you're no way. I run into people all the time that are angry with God because of difficult situations. They get mad at God because of difficult situations. Does that help anything? No. All it does is it allows the devil to drive a wedge between you and God. When you see this difficult thing happening and you don't know how to take it, and you feel like God has abandoned you, and so, you know, people just turn on God and they get angry at God, and they stop serving God. They stop going to church. They stop, you know, anything that has, and then they run off in other directions that is very harmful. And so when the difficult thing comes, prove to God that you trust him. As Job did in chapter 13, verse 15, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's a very hard verse. I've mentioned it many times because, I don't know, that might be one of the hardest verses to swallow in the whole Bible. I'm not sure, but it's probably pretty close. One of the hardest verses to swallow in the Bible. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Anybody feel like that's where you're at today? It says in Psalm chapter 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I will fear no evil. Why? Because I trust God. It says, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so we're going to go through some dark times, right? We already know that. We need to trust him. We need to give thanks to him, even for the dark times. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking about an issue that he had in his life, and he prayed to God three times that God would take it away. And God's answer was, as we've mentioned many times before, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, Paul says, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. Had a hard time getting that word out. I'd rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul trusted Jesus. Even though he had an issue in his life that he wished would go away, and when he prayed to God, now here's Paul. You can read in the scriptures all the miracles and signs and wonders that took place at the hands of Paul, and yet Paul's got issue that God says, you know what? You get to keep that issue. My grace is sufficient for you. And Paul said, I will gladly boast upon my infirmities. You know what? I'm glad. Anybody, this sounds a little backwards, doesn't it? Anybody ready to say right here, right now, whatever the worst thing you're going through is, hey, you know what? I'm glad I'm going through this. That's not an easy thing. I have some stuff going into my life, but you know what? I'm glad for it. Really? You see, you know, when I say something like that, and it confuses us, and it's like, man, I don't know if I could just... It shows us that, you know what, there's areas in our lives where we need to learn how to trust God. There's areas that we learn that we have room to grow. Amen. Paul, you want to say something?
This Paul had not on the platter.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's something to give God thanks for, Paul. My head is not on a platter. Although there's a platter back there that's smelling pretty good right now. And so when we give thanks to God, even in the worst of times, it's a confession that we trust him. How can we minister to the lost that are going through the struggles of life if we can't, as believers, show them how to go through the struggles of life with faith and courage and trust in God? I'm curious if some of the things we go through is just so that we can be an example for a lost and dying world of how to go through stuff in life with God. I'm really curious about that. And so we want to give thanks to God when it's good, and we want to give thanks to God when it's bad, because we want to confess our faith and we want to confess our trust in God. Amen. And then finally, giving thanks to God is a confession of who it is we're worshiping. Thanksgiving is an act of worship. Do you understand that? When we turn to the God who has either blessed us or who is walking through us, has given us, you know, some struggles in life, when we turn to Him and we give Him thanks in the midst of it all, it's an act of worship. I bow down to You, God, because You have blessed me. I bow down to You, God, even when it's hard, and I give You thanks. Why? Because You are God and I am not. I worship Him. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." If you read your Bibles, there are several times in the Psalms that start with, several Psalms start with that same exact verse. Over and over and over again, you can find this particular phrase, this particular sentence in the Bible: "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever." It's an act of worship. And so when we go throughout this Thanksgiving season, you know, and I know, you know, we all know the story of the pilgrims and the Indians and how they learned how to eat. They had this great harvest, or they learned how to grow food, and they had this great harvest. And, you know, somehow our culture and our society has lost the whole purpose of Thanksgiving. There'll be stores that are going to try to sell out on Thanksgiving. You know who's going to be, you know what they're going to be grateful for? They're going to be grateful that we've all forgotten what Thanksgiving is all about. But this Thanksgiving, when we gather with our families, especially those who have disagreed with us politically, or those who don't understand why, you know, we're following Jesus, those that are lost, those that are confused, those that are, they're even serving other gods. I mean, let's face it. Some of us have family members that are serving other gods. When we do this Thanksgiving season, I hope that we can be a demonstration of faith, of trust, and worship in God. Why are we gathering together? Because we're going to give thanks to God. Thanks to God that He has sustained us. Thanks to God that He has given us life and not death. Thanks to God that He is our Savior and our King and our Healer and our Deliverer. Thanksgiving isn't just about getting together, watching some football, and eating some turkey, although I hope I get a chance to do that. Just saying. It's more than that. It's more than getting together with families, and I hope that I get a chance to do that. But really, if we think about what Thanksgiving is all about and the power that is in giving thanks, I hope that our hearts are focused in the right area this Thanksgiving. And that it's all about Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins. It's all about God who created us for His own pleasure. It's all about the idea that we have been given everlasting life, and that we want to encourage others to express faith in Christ, to put their trust in Christ, and to worship Jesus Christ. That's what Thanksgiving is for. You want to say something, Dan? Go ahead.
Yesterday, I had my grandson
Amen. Amen. I have what I have because I have a God that loves me. And that is awesome. And I give him thanks. And guess what? I don't have what I don't have because I have a God who loves me. God knows what I need. He knows what I don't need. He knows that if I have a desire that is out of purpose and out of place, that I don't need it and I won't get it. He knows that if I have a desire that is good and godly, he will bless me with it. I trust him when it's good. I trust him when it's bad. I express faith in him, whether it's good or whether it's bad. I give him thanksgiving and I worship him when it's good and when it's bad. Why? Because he's God. Don't let the devil try to bring some sort of confusion into your life where you can't get on your face. You know, as that scripture talked about, that leper got on his face at the feet of Jesus and gave thanks. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Honey, how long before dinner's ready? Awesome. Man, it's smelling good in here. By the way, I want to give thanks for everybody who participated in this lunch today. All the cooks and all the bakers and all the chefs, and all the food. We're going to be blessed by it. And I thank God for that. I thank God for you all. Let's just, for a moment, whether, you know what, let's do two things. Let's really think of what's the most blessed thing in your life right now, the most awesome, positive, blessed thing in your life. What is that right now? I want you to think about that. And let's just spend a moment in prayer and giving God thanks for that. Father, I thank you right now for the blessings that you have poured into my life. For all the good things, God, that make me happy, that fill me with joy. All the good things, God, that you have blessed me with, that encourages me, that gives me hope, that lifts me up, that strengthens my soul, that puts a song in my heart. I thank you, God, for the wonderful things that cause me to just have joy that overflows, peace without understanding. I thank you, God, for every breath of life that you give me, for every beat of my heart, for every moment that I have to love you and to love others. God, I thank you for all the many blessings. I thank you for this church. I thank you for this wonderful family of God to fellowship with. I thank you, God, for the car I drive, the home I live in, the children that I have, all the many blessings, my family, all the stuff, Lord, that just shows me how much you love me. I thank you, God. And I also want you to think about the absolute worst thing that's going on in your life right now. The thing that causes you to hurt, perhaps, or be a little bit down, or to that frustrates you, whatever that thing is. And I want you to give thanks to God for that as well. Father, there are things in our lives, things in my life, that are hard to swallow. Pains in our bodies. Relationships that just didn't seem to go right. People that are sick, maybe we're sick. Infirmities, Lord, as Paul described them. Stuff that is hard to swallow, stuff that we can't explain. Why would this be happening? Perhaps great loss. Perhaps some confusion, perhaps, Lord God, a lack of something. But whatever the hardest things are in our lives, this morning I want to give you thanks for them. Because we trust you, because I trust you. Lord, I pray that even in the midst of the hardest things in our lives, that we would not forget to thank you. That we would maintain our attitude of gratitude, knowing that every circumstance that comes our way is meant for our good. That everything, Lord God, no matter how difficult it may be, you will use that to give us strength. You will use that to build us up. And you will use that, Lord God, to draw us even closer to you. And so, God, I thank you for all that is good, and I thank you that all that is hard, because you are God. And Lord, I give thanks this morning to the Creator of the universe, the one who died for me, the one who gives me everlasting life. I thank you. Lord, pour out your Spirit on each and every one here this morning as we gladly lift you up, expressing our faith, our trust, and our worship to you. Bless each one. In Jesus' name, amen.